Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
John 8 is possibly the greatest definition of what it means to respect authority. Really, hope you get something out of the lesson. Hope it's fruitful for you. If you have any questions whatsoever on what we say in this program, whether it be from Ken or myself or from someone else, we would like you to email us or call us and set up a Bible study. We'd love to talk with you about the Word of God. We care about you, and we love your soul. We love you. If you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, please turn open to Luke chapter 10. I'll be reading there in just a little bit. Luke chapter 10, please. One of the problems that we have in our Bible studies sometimes is that we make things harder than they're supposed to be. At least that's my problem from time to time. Sometimes we take a passage that is just as black and white as it could possibly be, and the next moment we're dissecting the passage with a razor, breaking it down, adding this commentary and that commentary, and we don't know which commentary to use, so we add a third commentary, and the next thing you know, the passage isn't so black and white anymore. Why do we do that? I want you to read a verse with me from Luke chapter 10, verse 21. It says, "In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Jesus thanked his Father that the message of the kingdom was being hidden from the wise and understanding, and that it was being revealed to little children. Now, as we read that, we might ask ourselves a question. Well, I thought being wise and having understanding was a good thing, and it is. The wise and understanding that Jesus is talking about here, I think it's obvious, based off of other passages, that he's talking about the worldly wise. The worldly understanding, secular wisdom, secular understanding. The people who think that they're so smart that they don't need God to tell them anything. Those are the folks Jesus is saying, "I thank you, Father, that these things are hidden from them and revealed to little children." Question. If Jesus praised God that the message was simple enough for little children, why do we make it difficult to the point where little children couldn't understand? And don't get me wrong, I understand that the Word of God talks about the meat of the Word in comparison to milk. Some of it is harder to digest, in other words. Peter said something about Paul's writings in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said that some of the things that Paul wrote were hard to understand. Hard to understand some of the things, not all the things, obviously. So I understand that those things exist. But when it comes to Christ, his mission, how God wants us to live, those things really shouldn't be hard. I want to talk with you about a subject this morning that I believe we can make difficult, more difficult than it has to be. It's the subject of authority, the authority of God's Word. Books have been written by people on how to establish authority, and I'm not talking about little tracts or anything. I'm talking about thick, wordy, lengthy books, all about the subject of authority, how to establish authority, this, that, and the other. And they're not bad books. I've only read maybe one or two from cover to cover. But I think maybe that's an instance where we've left the simplicity of it all in the dust, and made it a little bit more difficult than it has to be. I'm going to try to break it down as simply as I possibly can this morning in the next 25 minutes or so by asking three questions. Three simple questions. Number one is this: what is authority? If if you looked it up in a regular dictionary, it would say something like this. It's the right to command, the right to give precepts, the right to make laws. It would also say that those people have authority, have the right to enforce those commands, precepts, or laws. But even more simply than that, someone with authority has the right to tell you what to do. And they have the right to tell you what not to do. Okay, that's not a big deal. We all understand that. But I'm here to say that we live in a society that doesn't really want to respect those who can tell us what to do and what not to do. And just put aside scriptural authority for a second. We'll come back to it many, many times this morning. But I'm just talking about authority in regular everyday life. We don't want to be told what to do from time to time. From the time that we're kids, we say things like, "You're not the boss of me." Haven't you ever heard little kids say that? Or do you remember saying that as a kid? I remember saying, "Don't tell me what I have to do. You're not my mom and dad." Matter of fact, when I was a kid, I've got an older brother, and I respect him a lot now. But when I was younger, to be honest, I didn't want to listen to what he had to say. But he was about 7 years older than I was. And so when mom and dad happened to be gone and he was older, 7 years older than I was, a lot of times he would be my babysitter. And I distinctly remember telling my brother, "You're not mom and dad." And it was a lack of respect for authority. Mom and dad had put him into an authoritative position, and I should have listened to what he had to say. And if you don't think those types of things happen now, just talk to a school teacher, and they'll tell you. School kids say things like, "Hey, you're not my mom and dad. You can't tell me to do this, that, or the other." But I want to tell you something about Jesus. He loves when we respect authority. If you have your Bible and you're following along, please turn over to Matthew chapter 8. There's a story here about a centurion, and it's clear, based off of the story and what Jesus says about this man, that he has respect for authority. But it's Jesus' response to his respect for authority that I want you to hone in on. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10 read this way. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, 'Go,' he goes, to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." This is the first and only time that I'm aware of where Jesus actually offers to go to someone's house and they refused him. Jesus says to the centurion, "I'm going to come and I'm going to heal your servant." "Yeah, no problem. Where do you live? Let's go." And the centurion says, "No, I'm not worthy to have you come over to my house." But that's not the point. I'm not asking you to come over to my house. What I'm really asking for you to do is to heal my servant, and you can do that right where you're standing. And you know how the centurion knew that? Because of authority. It was about the right to command. Jesus had the right to command that disease or that sickness or that paralyzed condition. He had the right to command that condition 10 miles away, 100 miles away, a galaxy away. Jesus has that right. It wasn't about Jesus diagnosing the patient and saying, "Take two pills and call me in the morning," or his need to see the patient or touch the patient. It wasn't about all that. What was it about? The right to command. He had the right to command that disease, sickness, or paralyzed condition. But the main reason that I brought you to this passage is to show you how much Jesus loved this response. Verse 10, he says that he marveled, and he turned to those who were following him and said, "I want to tell you something about this man's faith. I haven't seen this kind of faith in all Israel." What I find interesting is what Jesus did not say. He didn't say, "This centurion has the best grasp on authority I've ever seen." He didn't say he wowed me with his concept of authority. No, Jesus made the connection to faith. He made the connection to faith. This is perhaps maybe the most important thing that I'll say all this whole radio program. Faith and our respect for authority are connected. Let me repeat. Our faith and our respect for authority are connected. Jesus connected them here in Matthew chapter 8. Some of the harshest criticism about the churches of Christ has been, you guys are always talking about laws. You guys are always talking about commandments. You're always talking about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. You know what I got to say to that? Yeah. Yeah, we are. Because it's about faith. Listen, when we talk about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and God's laws and commandments and whatnot, it's not just because we love to talk about law. It's because we want to respect God's authority. It's because we want to respect God's right to command us. He has the right to tell me to live soberly. He has the right to tell me to abstain from fornication. And he has that right. So when we talk about those things, it's not just because we have a sick love for talking about rules and regulations and laws and commandments. It's because we want to respect God's right to tell us what to do. And it's a reflection on our faith. Second question, in boiling down the subject of authority. What does it mean to respect God's authority? Now, the easy answer to that is, we respect God's authority when we obey. And I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Just because it's the right answer doesn't necessarily mean that it's the wrong answer. But here in John chapter 8, I think we have possibly the greatest definition of what it means to respect authority. John chapter 8, verses 25 through 29, then we'll kind of break it down together. But the scripture reads this way. So they came to him and said, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he who has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." I want you to underline the phrase in verse 28, "I do nothing on my own authority." Many of the translations will say, "I do nothing on my own initiative." This is what it means to respect authority. We hear from God, which is what Jesus said. We learn from God. We always try to do the things that are pleasing to God. But as we look at that, it's really no different from obedience. But I told you that we were going to take it one step further, didn't I? The one step further in respecting God's authority is that phrase, "I do nothing on my own authority or own initiative." Let this sink in for a moment. I'm going to tell you a story that I think really applies to this kind of mindset. There's a preacher that I have met before, very casually, but I've heard him tell this story. His name's Floyd Chapelier. He went to a secular school that was run by some very liberal believers, to say the least. And in this secular school, Floyd was always raising objections in class to what the teacher was saying about certain subjects. And one day while he was in his Bible class, the teacher was talking about taking the Lord's Supper on any day that you wanted to. He was making the argument that you could take the Lord's Supper whenever you wanted to. You want to take it on a Saturday? You could take it on a Saturday. Friday, Tuesday, whenever you wanted to take it, you can take it. And the teacher, being used to Floyd raising some objections, he said to Floyd, "Floyd, you can kind of pipe in now. Tell us what you think about it that's wrong or whatever." Listen to Floyd's response. Floyd said to that teacher, "No, I don't want to tell you what's wrong with it." And that really surprised the teacher because Floyd was always chomping at the bit to talk about what he thought was wrong. But he said, no, I don't want to tell you what's wrong with that because it's not my responsibility to tell you what's wrong. It's your responsibility to tell us why it's right. Did you hear that? Beloved and friends, that's it. We don't have to prove everything is wrong. All we have to prove is what's right. And beyond that, we must take the attitude of Jesus. We will not do anything on our own initiative. We will not do anything on our own authority. Let me be more specific and just use that example from Floyd's class, taking the Lord's Supper on any day. You know, I don't have to prove that taking the Lord's Supper on a Tuesday is wrong. I don't have to prove that at all. All I have to know is what's right. I know what's right to take it on the Lord's Day, that being the first day of the week, that being Sunday. That's when they took it in Acts chapter 20. Beyond that, beyond taking it on the Lord's Day, you know what my attitude should be? I'm not going to do anything on my own initiative. And taking it on a Tuesday would be taking it on my own initiative. Let me give you another example that's popular in our religious culture today. Sprinkling. I don't have to prove that sprinkling is wrong. Did you know that you can't find one person, or one child for that matter, or anybody being sprinkled for baptism? You just can't find the passage. But somebody said, well, you need to prove to me that that's wrong. No, I don't. No, I don't at all. Because you can't find it. You can't prove that it's right. All I have to do is prove what's right. And that what's right is to baptize somebody. Baptizing isn't sprinkling. Baptizing is being submerged, plunged, dipped, immersed, buried, as the scripture figuratively puts it. I know that's right. And beyond that, you know what my attitude should be? I will not do anything on my own initiative. I will not do anything on my own authority. Friends, that's Christ-like. I'm afraid that there's a lot of talk on being like Christ in the religious world, and that's what it is. It's just a bunch of talk. But when it comes down to it, and doing things on our own initiative, and doing things on our own authority, and kind of going off on our own agenda, nobody wants to imitate Christ's attitude here in John chapter 8. So you know what my position is? On big mega churches building a bunch of gymnasiums and ball fields? I'll tell you what my position is. They're doing that on their own authority, on their own initiative, on their own agenda, because they can't prove that that's the agenda of the church that God has laid down in the New Testament. Call me a stick in the mud, but this is the ultimate respect for authority, not just obeying the do's and the don'ts, but actually taking one step further and saying, you know what, beyond what's right, beyond what I know to be right, I will not do anything on my own initiative. Third question this morning, simple question. How is God's authority transmitted? We know that he transmitted his authority through his son Jesus Christ. We know that. But after Jesus Christ left and he ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father, how did he transmit his authority? If you're still in the Gospel of John, go ahead and turn over with me to John chapter 16. God had a plan for transmitting his authority, and it's right here in John 16. Read with me verses 12 through 15. Jesus said to his apostles, and mind you, this is a conversation between Jesus and his apostles alone. Jesus said to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. We just heard that phrase, didn't we? He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus says there in John chapter 16, verse 12, he says, I've got many more things to say to you guys. I've got many more lessons. I've got many more sermons I wish that you guys could hear, but you cannot bear them now. But I've got a plan. Here's the plan. The Spirit of Truth is going to come and lead you guys into all the truth. Not just some of the truth, not just a little bit of truth, but He was going to lead the Holy Spirit. He was going to lead the apostles into all the truth. And then He uses the same phrase about the Holy Spirit that He used about Himself there in John chapter 8. He will not speak on His own authority. He was not going to speak on His own initiative. Let me paraphrase if I can. The Holy Spirit was not just going to tell the apostles anything and everything willy-nilly. Whatever He hears, He will speak. That is, He was going to respect what God the Father wanted Him to say. Respecting God's authority is not about just saying whatever you want to say. It's not just speaking about whatever you want to speak about. It's not just preaching your own agenda. God's authority is sticking to what God says. You want to stick to what God says? Stick to the book. When the Holy Spirit was going to lead the apostles into all the truth, here's another thing. Did you notice who was going to be glorified? If you look back at verse 14, Jesus says, He will glorify Me. You want to glorify Jesus? Listeners, stick to the truth. If we get away from the truth, then we get away from glorifying Jesus Christ. But back to the question that brought us to the passage. How was God going to transmit His authority? He was going to transmit His authority through the Holy Spirit and reveal it to the apostles. And when the apostles wrote it down, wrote down the things of the Spirit, you can mark it down. It is God communicating His authority, His right to command, His right to tell us what to do. Let me repeat. When the apostles wrote down the things of the Spirit, it is God communicating His authority. Let me read you a few passages that illustrate this point. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Kind of a neat little chapter about tongue speaking or whatever, but, you know, the church at Corinth was really getting out of hand. And Paul says, at the end, kind of wrapping up the subject, in verse 37 of 1 Corinthians 14, if anyone thinks that he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. Paul says, you think you're a prophet? You think you're spiritual? You think you're a hot shot? You think you're somebody? Then what you need to realize is that what I'm writing down to you is the Lord's command. Does that sound like a suggestion? Did it sound like Paul was writing down suggestions? That he was communicating suggestions? No, but that's the way many people take the New Testament, as a bunch of suggestions by men. Paul said, no, what you need to realize is that what I'm writing down is the command of the Lord. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 1 and just read this one. This one might be even more telling. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. Well, if it's not man's, whose is it? Well, it's the Lord's. Verse 12. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's ask Paul some questions. Paul, where did you receive this gospel that you preach? I didn't receive it from a man. Where were you taught the gospel, Paul? I wasn't taught the gospel at all. Well, if you didn't receive it from a man, and you weren't taught it at all, how did you get it? I got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. He got it by inspiration, which is exact fulfillment of what we saw there in John chapter 16, where the Holy Spirit was going to come and reveal all the truth to the apostles, and Paul was most certainly an apostle, and thus glorify Jesus Christ. And there you have it, friends. We've boiled down the subject of authority pretty quickly this morning. And pretty, hopefully we've done it pretty simply and pretty quickly. The three questions are, what is authority? It's the right to command. And we need to recognize, like the centurion did in Matthew chapter 8, that God has the right to command. He has the right to maneuver the pieces, to tell us what to do. Question number 2, how do we properly respect God's authority? Well, we do it by obedience, sure. But we need to take it one step further, like Jesus did in John chapter 8, and we need to make up our minds that we will do nothing on our own initiative, on our own authority, on our own agenda. We will not do that. And number 3, how did God transmit His authority? He did it by His Son, Jesus Christ. And after that, He sent His Holy Spirit, gave it to the apostles, and they were led into all the truth, so that when they communicated through letter, it was not suggestion, but it was God Himself communicating His authority to us. Friends, let's respect God's authority. If you are looking for a place to worship today, we would invite you here to the Monte Vista Church of Christ. I promise that you'll find smiling faces, welcome faces. We want to get into the book with you. We want you to know that we care about you. Please reach out to us if you have a spiritual need. Thanks for listening. Hope you got something out of the lesson. Till next time, I'm Alan Greeley. Have a great Lord's Day.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.